Daniel chapter 5. I want to read the entire chapter so that you get the whole story. If I shout once, it may just blow the voice. So we'll see what happens here. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being obedient, Shane and Sandra. Shane and Sandra are an important part of this church, and God has raised them up. If you're visiting with us, this is not my normal voice. What do you want? What are you doing to me, brother? That was all me. I was being so gentle. What do you want me to do, brother? Want me to put it over here?
No, I just want you to talk like a normal person.
Normal is not my deal. Let me look at Daniel chapter 5. Are you there with me here? Daniel chapter 5. Are you happy? Hallelujah. You're a little cool. We're trying to save the oil for the winter time, right? The treasurer just nodded. Yeah, that's right. Let them huddle up together. Let them get warm if they want it. Daniel chapter 5. Actually, I would like to read the last verse of chapter 4. It's in that, and this is going to require some explanation, but in Daniel chapter 4, the last part of it, you have King Nebuchadnezzar. The great king. I mean, this is the big one. This is the one that really built this kingdom. God has humbled him because at some point he thought he had did it and not God. And so God had to make him crazy or allow him to become crazy. And anyways, then there came a point when he came to his senses and gave God Almighty, the God of Israel. Not his gods, not his nation's gods, but the God of Israel, the God of Daniel, to give him the praise and the glory and the dominion. For all that God had done, it says in verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, this is a pagan king, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways are just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. And he had that written out and he had that sent to all the parts of the kingdom. Chapter 5 is a few years later. This is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. In Hebrew, they just simply call it your father, whether it's your grandfather, your father. Belshazzar's father has been assassinated. King Nebuchadnezzar has died. His son took over. His son was assassinated. His grandson, who is Belshazzar, has taken over because he was a popular guy amongst some of the nobles. He was other sons had more right to the throne than he did, but he had the schmooze gift, according to history, and you know, the bribing and rubbing and doing all that kind of thing, and he managed to get himself made king instead of his brothers. And so we find, so get that context now. And in chapter 5, here is Belshazzar. The king held a great feast for 1,000 of his buddies. All right. This is really what's taking place here. He rewards the guys that put him in power. Here he is. And he was drinking wine in the presence of the 1,000. When Belshazzar tasted the wine, he gave orders to bring the gold and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, so that the king and his buddies, his wives, that is in plural, and his concubines, that is his many, many, many hundreds of girlfriends. You're beginning to get a picture of what kind of party this is. Might drink from those vessels. Then they brought the gold and silver vessels that had been taken out of the temple, the house of God, which was in Jerusalem. And the king, the nobles, his buddies and his wives, his girlfriends, began to drink wine from out of the sacred vessels of the house of God. They drank wine and they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, of iron, of wood, of stone. And suddenly, the finger of a man's hand emerged and began writing opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the back of the hand that did the writing. And the king's face grew pale, and his thoughts alarmed him, and his hip joints went slack, and his knees began to knock together. The king called out and to bring in the conjurers, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. The king spake and said unto the wise men of Babylon. Now these wise men of Babylon had not been invited to the guest in the guest list. So time is shrunk down here, you understand. The king spake unto these wise men of Babylon and said, any man who can read this inscription and explain its interpretation to me will be clothed with purple, have a necklace of pure gold around his neck, and have authority as the third ruler in all of the kingdom. Then all the king's wise men came in, and they could not read the inscription or make known its interpretation to the king. Then Belshazzar grew greatly alarmed, and his face grew even paler. And his buddies, not just the wise men, this is his friends, were perplexed. Then the queen entered. Now the queen in this case is his grandma or his mother, we're not quite sure, but it's not his wife. It could quite possibly be Nebuchadnezzar's wife, the queen, so it's the queen mother. Entered the banquet hall. Why? Because she wasn't invited either. You don't bring the old folks when you're wanting to have a good time. Right? And so the queen entered the banquet hall because of the words of the king and the nobles. And the queen spake unto him and said, O king, you live forever. Do not let your thoughts alarm you or your face be pale. Mama doesn't like that. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. She doesn't quite get it. But she knows there's something different about him. The spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of your grandfather, illumination, insight, and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and diviners. And this was because an extraordinary spirit. Oh, glory. And this is the world talking. This is a non-believer. This is someone who worships a false god, is looking at the man of God and is saying this. He had an extraordinary spirit. Knowledge and insight, interpretation of dreams, explanation of enigmas, and solving the difficult problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Let Daniel now be summoned, and he will declare the interpretation. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. Daniel, by the way, wasn't invited either, obviously. The king spake unto Daniel, are you that Daniel who is one of the exiles from Judah, whom my father, the king, brought from Judah? Now I have heard about you that a spirit of the gods is in you, that illumination, insight, and extraordinary wisdom have been found in you. Just now, the wise men and the conjurers were brought in before me that they might read this inscription and make its interpretation known unto me, but they could not declare the interpretation of the message. But I personally have heard about you, and that you are able to give interpretation to solve difficult problems. Now, if you are able to read the inscription and make this interpretation known to me, you will be clothed with purple, wear a necklace of pure gold around your neck, and you will have authority of the third ruler of the kingdom. And Daniel, the man of God, answered and said, keep your stuff, or give it to somebody else. But I will read the inscription to the king and make the interpretation known unto him. O king, most high, the most high God granted sovereignty, grandeur, glory, and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar, your grandfather. Because of the grandeur which he bestowed unto him, all of the peoples, nations, and men of every language feared and trembled before him. Whoever he wished, he killed, and whomever he wished to spare, that was alive. And whomever he wished to elevate, and whomever he wished to humble. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit became so proud, beware of pride, children, that he behaved arrogantly, he was deposed from his royal throne, and his glory was taken away from him. He was also driven away from mankind, and his heart was made like that of a beast. And his dwelling place was with the wild donkeys, and he was given grass to eat like the cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he recognized that the Most High God, his ruler, over the realm of man, is over the realm of mankind, and that he sets over it whomever he wishes. In other words, God's in charge, friends. I said, God's in charge. Yet you, his grandson, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all of this. But you have exalted yourself against the Lord of heavens, and they have brought the vessels of the house before you, and you have your nobles and your wives and your concubines, they've been drinking from them and praising the gods of silver and gold and bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not hear or see or understand, but the God in whose hand you are and your life breath is in. And in all your ways, you have not glorified. Your breath that you have is in God's hands, and yet you have not glorified him. Then this hand was sent from him, and his inscription was written out, and now this is the interpretation. Oh, we finally get around to it. Thank you, Daniel. Many, many tekel umpharsin. And this is the interpretation of the message. Many, God has numbered you and your kingdom, and it's come to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the scales, and you have been found wanting. Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given over to the Medes and the Persians. And then Belshazzar gave orders that they clothe Daniel with the purple and with a necklace of pure gold around his neck, and issued a proclamation concerning him that he now had authority as the third ruler of the kingdom. That same night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom at the age of 62. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, it's a warning to us today, Father God, that we do not repeat the arrogance, the pride of past. Father, we ask, Lord, today that you would give us guidance and wisdom in all things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 This past week, we had a little pipsqueak dictator. His name is Kim Jong-un. He is the son of Kim Jong-il, but really it's his granddaddy who built the kingdom of North Korea, and that was Kim Il-sung. And he threw a little party this week and blew up a big bomb underneath a mountain, a hydrogen bomb. He's been doing a lot of stuff lately. He's been kind of kicking, as I talked about last week, about kicking the hornet's nest. On Sunday morning, last Sunday, President President Trump came out of church. It was a day of prayer that he had asked for, and then some reporter says, "What are you going to do about North Korea?" And he just simply said, "We'll see." And we kind of wonder, you know, with guys like this who, you know, have taken over a kingdom and that they didn't build, and they're spoiled rotten, and they think that they're something wonderful. We kind of wonder, when will the party end? At what point do they go too far? At what point do they just go cross the line and the American military might says, somebody says, that's enough? I don't know. Are you thinking that like I'm thinking that? We just keep wondering when is this guy going to go across the line and somebody's going to take him out? The parallels between Belshazzar and Kim Jong-un are sobering. It's just generation that's out of touch with what they have. The reality is so far removed from the reality, their reality and what is reality is so far removed from each other that whatever it is that comes into their mind, they think it must be right. I'm invincible. I can do anything. I can do anything. And if everybody tells you you can do anything and you surround yourself with 1,000 people who tell you you can do anything, then you actually begin to believe that there is no power greater than you in the universe. And then someday you just go too far and you find out that you're not the greatest. We don't know when that line is crossed. In this text of scripture, Belshazzar, you know, the spoiled grandson of the great and mighty liberator who made the kingdom. He had his buddies and he had his wives and his girlfriends and, you know, the kind of party there was that he was having. How can we make this further? How can we go further? How can we make this party even greater than it is? Let's bring in the articles of the holy temple. Let's bring in the gold and the silver goblets. Let's bring those things in and let's party with the sacred things from Jerusalem. And it seems like a line was crossed. You know, the party was full of his buddies and not foreign dignitaries, not the wise men, not the older, not the queen, obviously, not his mom or grandma, not the ones that could have said to him, you know what, maybe you should just party down a little bit here. There was none of the wise men of the kingdom that could have been there. Perhaps, obviously, Daniel, who was still the leader, I thought, of the wise men of Babylon. Perhaps the grandson replaced him. I don't know. But where were those? Where was that element that was there to be able to say, "Oh, no, King, don't do that." They weren't invited. Indeed, evil prospers when good men say nothing, but evil also prospers when the voices of good men are ignored and silenced. So the party gets out of hand. A couple of weeks ago in Michigan, in August, a 16-year-old girl puts it on social media, on Facebook, that her parents have gone to California and they live in an exclusive, what they call their these walled communities or whatever, the big fancy homes and whatnot. Anyway, she puts it on Facebook. The mom and dad, she's spoiled, obviously. You know, mom and dad have gone to California, and so there's going to be a big party at my place. So all my friends, you're all welcome to come. Well, 400 showed up, according to Michigan police, trashed the mansion, and the girl herself ended up in the hospital that night. Yeah, the party can get out of hand quick, can it? When the rule book is thrown out, when good advice is not there. Belshazzar's parents weren't away for the weekend. His father, as I had said, was assassinated. His grandfather was dead. And he inherited a country that he did not start, a kingdom that he did not build, a dominion that he did not maintain. And he began, according to history, quickly to erase. Usually this happens only when another kingdom comes in. You know, like you get kicked out, the enemy comes in and they start to erase history. They start to say, "I did it." So what Belshazzar did was all the great accomplishments that the founding fathers of the nation had done, he began to put his name in it. It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. It was Belshazzar that built the kingdom. Doesn't that make it easy? You don't have to do any work. And so he took the name of the founding fathers off the public schools. Oh, is that a little too close? Instead of Sir John A. Macdonald, we don't, no, let's take him off. Let's put our name on those things. Let's try to erase history. Let's forget about the founding fathers. Let's forget about how this country was started. Let's forget about these things. Let's turn it around and actually make it an embarrassment. Let's turn it around and actually be ashamed of those people who started this nation, who built this nation, who sweat, labor, and toil, and faith built the nation under God. And let's put our name on it, having done no work at all. That's what Belshazzar did. But he went too far. I keep wondering, when this nation will go too far. I see an advertisement on television, it's McDonald's commercial or some other commercial, and something's in it that Lord have mercy. And I turn away and my wife says, what happened? I said, I saw something on television. I think, they've gone too far. And then they go further. But history does tell us that every civilization has its moral tipping point. I don't like the party, but I do like how the party ended. I like how the party ended. In this case, it ended suddenly. There's a great difference between a hurricane and an earthquake. I was communicating Facebook, talking with Pastor Bishop Randall Stalls from Haiti. The Lord put on my heart to contact him and pray for him, and I prayed for him. We did the internet thing and talked. And as he was waiting for Hurricane Irma to come and see where it would land in the nation of Haiti. And I asked him, I said, you're all right? His wife, Anita, she made it to Miami. She evacuated because it was already planned. It was already planned. She already had a book because of it. She's coming here to Ottawa in the next couple of weeks to get her doctor's appointments and anything. That was all planned. So I'm asking about, this is, the hurricane, is the fear level, et cetera. He says, it's not like an earthquake. He says, we can see it coming, we can pray, we can prepare, we hunker down. And he said, when the earthquake happened, it's sudden. There is a different kind of terror, there is a different kind of fear that comes when the party shuts down quick. And you can see it on the face of Belshazzar. You can see it in his countenance. It says that his face drained of its blood. That's a physiological thing with fear. His face drained of blood. He became pale. It says that his knees knocked together. It's like a cartoon. He went too far. There was no warning to this in his mind. And this is how this is how the second coming of the Lord will be. It'll be sudden. This is how God is going to shut the party down in this world someday. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, "For you yourselves know perfectly that in the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say sunny ways, when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them and they shall not escape." This is the thing that will wake people up. We just don't know when that time is. No one knows the day nor the hour. But look at the physiological interesting thing about the king. This guy that took power, this guy that says he is so big and he has changed history to revolve around him, and yet he is so terrified. But there's two kinds of fear of God. Friends, there's the good kind, and it's both good. Let me just say that they're both good. It's just you want to have the right kind of the fear of God, the kind of fear of a holy father, the kind of fear of God Almighty, because he loves you and he loves you, and he's coming to give you a little spanking because he cares about you and he wants to correct your ways, and it's a good thing. And then there's a kind of fear of God that is empty of faith. But, in fact, he gets angry even. In Revelation, this is the kind of fear that men will have. In the book of the Revelation, in chapter 6, it talks about the end times, and it talks about how that in the end times, in the last days before the coming of the Lord, it says that they will hide themselves in caves and rocks and mountains, and they will say to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall upon us and hide from the face of him who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great and terrible day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" This is Revelation chapter 6. It's not because they're afraid, they have a holy fear of God. There's just a fear of God. And this is what Belshazzar had. He just had a fear. I think he knew he went too far. Come on, people. He knew he went too far. He was partying hardy, and then he brought in the things from the temple of God, and he begins with his girlfriends, and his buddies begin to drink out of holy vessels, and all of a sudden the handwriting comes on the wall. You don't think that he didn't know that he himself went too far? He didn't have to bring in all the Chaldean magicians and all those dudes to try to tell him what. In fact, Daniel himself says, "You already knew. You knew you went too far." What does all this mean? The scientists and the soothsayers, listen, no amount of human understanding is able to figure the hand of God. Well, I saw a documentary on PBS. I don't care who it was. I don't care what their PhD level was. I don't care who it is. Oprah does not know the hand of God. NASA does not understand the hand of God. You know, we try to understand what God is trying to say. We try to read the signs, and we try to use the wrong lenses and the wrong voices to try to understand what God is saying when they do not know. At least these boys admitted it. They came before the king and they said, "We do not understand." God says that he reveals his plans and his purposes through the prophets of Almighty God, and they are moved by the Holy Spirit. Give to us the living mind of God, and we have it today in the Bible. Our Bible today was written by the finger of God, not on a wall of plaster, but in the hearts of his servants, who then, moved by the Holy Spirit, brought to us the living word of God. And no human agency, no scientific community, no medical institution can tell us or reveal to us that which is given by the Holy Spirit cannot be revealed by the natural man of God. You understand? Although the natural man will try to do it. What does this mean? The remnant remembered. The queen mother comes in. She wasn't invited because she would have been a party pooper. And so she wasn't brought in. But she came in and she remembered there was a man of God in the kingdom. And so Daniel's brought in. And Daniel comes to the point where he is offered the reward. And he... whatever it is. I got words for it, but I better not say them. You know, what guts does this guy have? Where the king says, "Listen, you know, I'll give you the same thing. I'm going to give you a robe of purple. I'm going to give you a thing of gold. I'm going to give you all this stuff. You're going to be third in the kingdom if you do and interpret the thing for us." This is what he did all the time. This is what Belshazzar did. He greased and he moved and he swooned and he tried to get people on his side. And this is what he says to the king. The king says to the prophet of God, but the difference between the man of God, he says, "Listen, king," he says, "you can keep your junk because I cannot be bought. You can give it to some," he says this, "you can keep it yourself," he said, "or you can give it to somebody else. But I'm still going to tell you what the thing means." And he began to give the reprimand. Well, first of all, he reminded him. You know, the king asked for one thing. You know, it's always dangerous when you let people talk on this. Right, brother? You know, whenever you bring them up and say, "Would you tell us a little, tell us about Vancouver?" And he goes, "Well, a year ago I was..." Okay, you know. Yeah, I know it started there, but this is what the prophet Daniel says. He says, "I can't tell you what is written on the wall without telling you about what happened. And so he begins to say, listen, your grandpa, your granddaddy, he did this. He said, and he was humble, and he goes on about his grandpa. And he said, and you know full well this story. You have chosen to forget your heritage. You have chosen to forget your lineage. You have chosen to forget what God did in this nation. You have chosen to forget the revivals of the past. You have chosen to neglect the great move of God's Holy Spirit. You have chosen to forget what principles founded this nation. So he reprimands him. He says, and you have exalted yourself against the Lord. Verse 23. You've chosen to forget. And you've exalted yourself against the Lord God Almighty. So the patience of God, he says, has run out on you. He says, you've been put in the balance. And you've been found wanting. The Bible tells us that, or history tells us, the Bible tells us that same night Belshazzar, the king, was slain. Well, history tells us that the Medes and the Persians came in, Darius, and while he was partying hardy, and actually he had been partying for days, he sat behind the big walls of Babylon. He sat behind all the things that his grandfather had made for him, all the defenses of Babylon. He sat there pretty inside, and he decided, when even though he knew that the Medes and the Persians were on their way there, he was so confident that the defenses of the city were such that he decided to bring his lads in and have a 3-day party. But Darius, I believe, by the hand of God, had the wisdom to be able to redirect the Euphrates River. Actually, redirected the Euphrates River from flowing through Babylon. Dried up the waterbed and marched his armies in under the wall while this was happening. And so the party ended. You know, I know it's kind of a sobering, maybe my voice too with the cold and everything makes it sound even more sobering, but God can make a way for your success or your destruction. Some get this mixed up because the fact that we live in an age of grace does not negate the wrath of God. The scripture is clear about that. I don't have time this morning or this afternoon to permit to go through all the multitude of scriptures in the New Testament, not the Old Testament, but the New Testament that warn about the wrath to come. And once you get into the book of the Revelation, it's the wrath of God, the wrath of God, the wrath of God, the wrath of God. Look up in your concordance on your Bible apps on your phones or whatever it is. You'll see the wrath of God in the New Testament. Friends, in history and at every age and even in our own lives, there's a time where the party goes too far. And God says that's enough. And maybe in your own life, you have kind of shut down the voices of the past and all the wisdom that others and maybe even those listening to me in the recording today, you've shut into your world. You've unfriended everybody that will caution you. You know what I'm saying? You surround yourself with those that will say, jump, 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 jump. Right? Go for it. So you come to a point where you take the party one step too far. You all know people who have done that and the tragedy that turns out in their lives. But I want to tell you this. There is the mercy of God. Somebody should say amen when I say the mercy of God. Amen. Because I don't know how many times I've taken the party too far. There are several things, and I just, maybe they're there. Did I put them up? Go to the last slide. Keep going. Oh, my goodness, we're way behind. Just go bang, 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 bang. Nope, not that far. Bang, bang. Maybe. Back up, bang. When the party goes too far, there are two things. I just want to reiterate that. I think they're there. I didn't put them in my notes. They're not there. Well, basically it's this. No, I didn't put them. When pride makes you think you're better than God. And when does that happen, friends? Yeah, the party goes too far when people consciously reject the truth of the past and the lessons learned and live as though it never happened. That's number one. Number two, the party goes too far in your life, in the life of a church, in a nation, in a civilization, whatever it may be. The party goes too far when mankind exalts itself against the Lord, makes a mockery of his holy things, and praises other gods. Examine your life, friends. Examine our nation. Examine our homes and say, "Oh Lord God, Lord, may we, Lord God, be those who are ones who have taken your mercy and have, Lord, listened to caution and have stepped away from taking up the things that are holy and have used them to celebrate ourselves. Thank you, Father God, for the witness of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the witness of Nebuchadnezzar, how that he proclaimed after his humiliation. We saw the grace of God. We saw the mercy of God. We saw an extended hand of God giving him another chance where he could stand and proclaim the God of Israel is God and there is none other. Lord, today protect this nation. Lord, we want whatever is best for the people of God. We want whatever is best for our nation. We want whatever is best for our community, Lord. And you know what's best, Father God. And we turn to you and we say, Lord, if we have gone too far, Lord, forgive us. Lord, we the people of God must stand in the gap for the rest of our nation. We must stand in the gap for our neighbors and our friends. We must stand in the gap for our communities and our businesses, our schools as the children go back to school. We must stand in the gap to prevent the soothsayers from trying to interpret what does this mean. Oh, it's climate change. Oh, it's this or that or whatever. Trying to interpret the handwriting on the wall. But you said in your word, Lord, that these things would happen. You said that the earth would groan. You said that things would take place. That all creation would groan toward the coming day of the Lord. Lord, we stand in the gap. And pray, Father God, that your church, Lord, your church, would rise up and take its place in Jesus' name.